And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water, even a cup of cold water, to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Wow. this is wonderful. I love it. I love it. The smiles out here, the songs that just truly, truly pull us into a right attitude of gratitude. Yes, we're thankful for our parents who raised us and taught us. Yes, we're thankful for the community that has supported us and raised us and brought us to where we are today. Yes, we're thankful for that. But something more important is we give joy and thanks to Him who created us, who created the very world that we're in. Thanks be to God. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Thanks be to
God.
Hallelujah.
Are you guys afraid to say God
in this church, in His place, in His house? I pray not. I know not. It was merely the, okay, where's He going with this? The title of the sermon is Slaves to Righteousness. And in the Romans passage, it goes very, very hard. Because Paul is one who says, you know, he was trained in the Jewish tradition to really be a rabbi. And you know what a rabbi is? He's a teacher. He's not just somebody who reads the word only. And we should all be in the word. We should all read the word. But a rabbi was someone who got into the sacred texts, the Torah, and then tried to live that life as taught and revealed in the Torah. And that was Paul. And when this new sect of Christians came along, they weren't even called Christians. When this new sect of followers of Jesus came along, he with fervor persecuted them. I mean, he went after them with as much fervor and vim and vigor. You like those words? And enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. He went after them. He persecuted them. He was on the way to Damascus to take Christians away in chains and persecute them even unto death when he got his comeuppance, when he saw the light. But Paul tells us in that scripture from Romans chapter 6, slaves to righteousness. And I'm going to read verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members, yourselves, as slaves to impurity and to greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Why? For sanctification. All right. What is sanctification? See, there are what Wesley taught are means of grace. There are means of grace. We have baptism. We have our sacraments. Those are means of grace, whether it's communion or baptism. Those are means of grace. That is how God's grace is allowed and enabled to come into our lives and the lives of our community and change us, mold us, make us better than we are. Paul said, oh, the good that I would do, that I don't do. The evil that I would not do, that I do. Wow, what a wretch am I? Why? Paul knows human nature. Is Paul's knowledge of human nature relevant for today? Even though it was written 2,000 years ago? How many of you, you don't have to put your hands up, how many of you have led a sinless life? I didn't say sinful life, I said sinless life. Okay, you along with me, I didn't see anybody raise their hands. I didn't even see anybody who thought they were going to raise their hand. The wages of sin is death. Everyone here in this room has earned by your life's work, no matter how many good deeds you've done, no matter how many acts of charity, compassion, no matter how many hours you've spent kneeling in prayer for brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, no matter how many prayers your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your children have prayed for you, God can abide. No sin in His presence. None. Not a zip, zilch. Is there anything I left out? Nil. You were listening. Good. Gold star later. None of us is worthy to be in His presence. But you know what? It's that grace thing. Why do we have grace? Because God loves us. Why does God love us? He created us. He created us for a purpose. If He just wanted some adoring entity, He had the angels. He created them. Why in the world did He have to create a world? Why did He have to create Adam and Eve? Why did He have to create a world that we could have dominion over? Oh no, we don't have dominion. We have responsibility. We're supposed to be good stewards. Oh, think about that. We don't have dominion over the world. We're supposed to take charge of it and be good stewards. And the world is made up of what? Who? Everything. Everything. Everyone. Everyone. Are you a slave to righteousness or are you a slave to sin? All right. How many of you, as Paul said, how many of you want to do right? Okay, keep those hands up. How many of you do right? All the time. Okay, you and I can talk later. If you do, it's only by the grace of God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. All of us. Save one. Jesus Christ. That perfect sacrifice. Who lived and died. Allowed Himself to be nailed on a cross. For you and me. For me. And He knows how bad a person I am. So does Terry. But, you know, she forgives me and loves me, so I'm okay. But that's the point. God loves us enough. God created us and loves us enough to allow grace to demonstrate His love for us. You know, we'd be lost were it not for grace. We'd be lost if not for love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Boy, we're hitting on all cylinders. You guys have actually read your Bible. That's great. But that grace takes at least three different shapes. There's that prevenient grace. That grace that goes on before us, even before Jesus says that I knew you before you were being formed in your mother's womb. That prevenient grace, that love, that instrument of His love, that grace that's there before us, before we even know how to act. When we're this embryo in a womb. That prevenient grace, that love of God washes over us. It's unmerited. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's undeserved. There's nothing we can do to earn it, pay for it. It's a free gift from God. Then there's that time in our lives as we grow up and we realize that we have an assurance of that justifying grace, that justification. And who justified us? Christ Jesus. He's the one who hung on the cross. He's the one that paid the sin debt for us. Not you, not me. He did. He did it 2,000 years ago for everybody born before and everybody born after. Because He said, all. And you and I are supposed to love one another how? As Jesus loved us. There's a song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Hey, hallelujah. That's the assurance. That's that assurance that Christ did it all. He paid the price. Then there's that sanctification. You know, because the beauty of this is, as long as there's breath in our bodies, as long as our hearts are pumping, as long as our minds are thinking, as long as those synapses are going, yeah, I'm really educated. Not really. We're going to be doing things that we shouldn't do. We're going to be thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking. We're going to be sin and in sin. But there's a thing called sanctification. It's that process. Because in Romans, chapter 6, verse 19, the last part of it. So now present yourselves as members of slaves to righteousness, a slave to righteousness for sanctification. All right. Prevenient grace, justifying grace. The last is sanctifying grace because you're not perfect yet. You can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it absent the grace of God. It's God working in us, in our lives, in the world around us, in our parents, our children, everybody that we know. It's God's grace working through them that changes us through that blessing and power of the Holy Spirit, that comforter, that advocate, that counselor that we have. The Holy Spirit leads us on. If we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and we open up our entire lives, then the Holy Spirit never leaves us like He finds us. Because He finds us in sin. He finds us in darkness. And where does He take us? He takes us to life. He finds us in death. He finds us in slavery to sin. Not righteousness. We're slaves of sin because that's what we do. That's our nature. But the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us there. The Holy Spirit plucks us up from the depths of our human depravity. And there are those out there that say, oh, we're basically good people. I don't know. Student of current events? Seen what's going on in the world? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're really doing good there, aren't we? Okay? There are more sin, more depravity than there ever is good work. It is only by His grace. So the peace that I leave you with, are you a slave of righteousness to sanctification? And if you are, how are you there? It's by God's grace. It's by your faith and hope. What is faith? It's the hope for things not yet seen. Hebrews 11. That faith for hope, that hope for things not yet seen is that you and I can't, if you look in the mirror and you do it truthfully, when you look at that face that's looking back at you in the mirror, is that a perfect person that you see? Okay. But Jesus, through that sanctification process, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Holy Spirit can do what? That sanctification process. It's moving us to perfection. We're not perfect yet. We're not there yet, but we're gonna be. And when He calls us home, He perfects us. He gives us resurrection bodies. And we are in His presence in those resurrection bodies for how long? Lo, I am with you always, even to forever. Slaves of righteousness?
We're slaves of sin. I love the Holy Spirit. I want to live forever. You get to choose. Each and every day, each and every breath, you choose. Because there's something else that Jesus gives us. Free will. If he wanted automatons, he could have done it. If he wanted obedient slaves, he could have done it. He didn't. He wants you to love him as much as he loves you. And the only person that can make that decision for you alone. Peace.